Welcome back. And we trust the Lord is opening your eyes with this, our Bible study. We pray that he's going to do more. Okay, let's go on. Shalom to the bride. Questions. Will the animals go in the rapture? Do we pay tithes from the gross income or from the net income? Sister Peace from USA.
Sister Peace, I don't know how this has become your income. The Bible speaks about profit and it comes from harvest. So it depends on your vocation. It depends on what you are doing for a living. If you are a businessman, a businesswoman, it's expected that you will pay from your profit because your profit is the harvest. That's only the profit. But if you are employed, then it is for your salary. Because your salary is the product of your input there. So you pay your salary. Go any other expense that is related to your job, which include taxes, are usually paid before whatever comes to you, your hand. Whatever reaches your hand is what you pay the tithe from. Yes. What's the other question?
Will animals go in the rapture?
No, rapture is for animal is animal. Animals will remain on earth here. Okay. Because this earth will still continue.
Amen.
It is only because they cannot go in the rapture because they don't have a soul. It is only we, the children. And he didn't come to die for animals. He came and died for those who have souls.
Amen.
So animals will not go in the rapture.
Okay.
Maybe you are trying to think of that the fact that animals also entered
the ark.
Noah's ark. Now, don't worry. God knows how to preserve them.
Amen.
He will preserve them. When you'll be destroying this earth with fire.
Amen.
He will preserve them.
Hallelujah.
For the purpose of continuity.
Amen.
Of life on earth.
Okay, Brother Paul is calling us from Delta State. God bless you, Brother Paul. You're on air.
Yes. Good evening, Pastor.
God bless you, Brother Paul.
Yes, sir. Sir, there's this problem, this question I want to ask. Pertaining this marriage and divorce. In my own case, I got married to a lady, and before this time, messages have been coming that this lady, she used charm, is getting married to me, of which I myself, I really never believed it. Just 1 year after the marriage, I came back for work in me. And I discovered the part of my sitting room was this rough. I said, why was my apartment rough? So I tried to pull off my clothes and begin to clean the house. When I was cleaning, before God and man, there was always time was hidden, very hidden. It was only by the grace of God I was able to see. So after I saw that time in the house, the marriage did not last more than last 5 or 6 months. We broke up since 2010 and we both went our own. So in this case, what do we say? And before now, I think just last year, in there, if we confess that yes, the lady that the wife that I got married before, that it was really charmed, she confessed a lot of things, including the charm that she will be manipulating me. So in my own case now, what do I do? I've not moved on. I've got to marry another lady, paid a dowry, and we have 3 kids.
Brother Paul, actually, I don't know what you really want me to say, you know, to you. You have already married another woman. Are you expecting that if the action you took was wrong, that I will tell you is wrong, then you now, this one that you marry with three children now, you should put her away, you know. So your question is a bit belated because the situation you find yourself now is the situation I will tell you to do everything and remain with this wife that you are in now. And pray that the mercy of God will continue with you because your case is It's a private, it's not a doctrinal issue. I cannot stay here and make a pronouncement. It's a unique case that needs a unique attention. We need to speak privately. But I can tell you here, openly, and any other person, that there are a lot of things we do that we do out of ignorance. You know, if you had gone and had a counsel, if you came to me and say you discover a lady put a charm in your house, you found charm in your house, the counsel I will give you will never be to put her away. Yeah, because the charm was not meant to harm you. That means she loved you so much until she does not want to lose you and went to get a charm to charm you. And secondly, the fact that a charm was used to get you also speaks of your spiritual estate. Because a Christian, no charm like that can work against you, because concerning marriage, you have prayed and prayed true. God will have spoken to you through one way or the other. So if I were to counsel you when you found that charm, I would have spoken differently and you would not have put her away. And I can see why the marriage was never the same again. It's not because the charm was broken. It was because of the impression you got when you saw that charm. And the charm cannot break because you discover it. You know, the charm, you got violent, you felt betrayed, you felt as if, oh, this whole relationship is based on charm. And then you suspected her so much, you began to hate her, and there was no peace again. Yes, the girl may have confessed later, that's what she did to get you. If that is what she did to get you, it's marriage in deceit. That means you were manipulated into that marriage. And so I believe in marriage in deceit, that if you find that it's a marriage in deceit, it can be broken. But you have broken it on that basis. Continue with your wife, and God will have mercy on you. It's my pronouncement as a servant of God. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes.
All right. Next question. Shalom, Pastor, and to the bride worldwide. My question is, according to Matthew 12, 31 and 32, the sin of blasphemy is never to be forgiven. But here in 1 Timothy 1, 13, it's like Apostle Paul was forgiven for the sin of blasphemy. A guy from Southern Cameroon.
Now, if you look at the sin of blasphemy in the context of Matthew 12, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at it very well.
31 and 32.
Before we come to that, the story begins from 22.
Okay. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw.
So he performed miracle. Power was going on. Uh-huh.
And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David?
You see?
But when the Pharisees
heard it. 24, listen very well. But
when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.
Now remember that these Pharisees, one of them had come to him by night in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, he said, we know that thou art a
teacher come from God.
A teacher sent from God. They knew he was of God. They knew it. But they are now calling what he's doing, that he's doing it by a demon, by devils. Now, verse 25.
And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself.
I want you to understand.
Shall not stand.
I want to understand verse 25. See, we are studying Bible. Verse 24 said what?
But when the Pharisees heard it, they said.
They what?
They said.
They said. Now come to verse 25.
And Jesus knew their thoughts.
So, and said unto them. That means Jesus knew why they were saying it.
Amen.
Do you understand? Jesus knew why they were saying it. They were saying it out of envy. They were saying it because attention is going to shift from them
to the Lord Jesus
Christ. That is the meaning. Okay? Every kingdom.
Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation.
Yes.
And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Mm.
And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself.
Yes.
How shall then his kingdom stand?
Yes.
And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out?
Uh-huh.
Therefore they shall be your judges.
Uh-huh.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
That's right.
Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?
Uh-huh.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattereth
then
abroad.
Understanding their thought,
wherefore I say
in.
Unto you,
yes,
all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall mm-hmm. not be forgiven unto men.
That is one.
And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him.
Uh-huh.
But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him.
Uh-huh.
Neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Uh-huh. Now, three. Mark chapter 3,
yes.
verse 28 and verse 29.
Verily I say unto you,
uh-huh.
all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme.
Now, verse 29.
But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness,
uh-huh.
but is in danger of eternal damnation.
Now, verse 30 is my emphasis.
Because they said he hath an unclean spirit.
That is the reason. Because they said he had an unclean spirit. Now, you say Paul was persecuting the Christians out of ignorance. Paul believed they were heretics. An unbeliever does not commit blasphemy.
Amen.
It is only believers that commit blasphemy out of envy.
Mm.
They know what constitutes blasphemy of the Holy Ghost that will not be forgiven here or hereafter. What constitutes is that you know that it is of God, but out of jealousy.
Mm.
And many Christians are guilty of it. To express their jealousy because attention is shifted to somebody. They go behind and say all manner of things against that gift.
Mm.
You can say anything against the person, but when you come to the ministry and you begin to speak against the oppression of the Holy Ghost, in that message, it's not forgivable. And that, so Paul was not guilty of that because Paul didn't know. The day he got to know who Jesus is, he saw how he submitted and went back again and began to fight those who are now doing what they were, the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Wow.
I hope that question is answered.
Yes, sir. Okay, next question, please. Shalom, my name is Oliver from Benue. I'm a little bit confused about what the scripture said about divorce. The Bible says that the reason for a man to put away his wife is adultery. But what if a woman gives her husband food poison and eventually the man survives it? Does he commit an offense if he puts the woman
away? I think we have answered this question.
Similar. I don't think it's this.
The woman wants to kill the man. How do you know it is poison the woman put there? What do you do to the woman if the woman wants to kill you? Something is gone wrong somewhere. Why not find out what is wrong? There must be something that went wrong somewhere. She may be having a mental problem. You may not know.
What if she's a witch? She's to donate her husband.
And if she's going to donate her husband for any other reason, God has saved you by making you discover it. So you need her and conduct deliverance on her. She will even be afraid of you to try it next time.
Mm.
You take her. If I were you, I would separate myself from her. You know, for some time, so that she will know the gravity of what she has done, but not to remarry another person.
Mm.
You may separate for the safety of your life until she realizes what she has done. And so even the shame of it is enough. She will never try it again because everybody will have now known. Even if it's a headache, hypertension that kill you, they will hold her responsible. They will say she killed you. So because of that, she will protect you when you eventually come back. I think there's actually no problem with that solution when it comes to marriage. It's just how we handle it that matters.
Mm. Amen. Okay, more questions coming in. Dear Pastor, what exactly is the covenant with Abraham? You once said God's covenant with Abraham and Israel is not eternal life. However, recently you linked that covenant to Christ. So I'm a bit confused at this point. Can you please explain? Finally, still tied to the previous, does God have a two-track salvation path running simultaneously, one for the Jews and another for the Gentiles.
We have answered this question.
Thanks, Brother Chris from Netherlands.
We have answered this question.
No, sir, maybe you did in the teaching. I don't think you answered
this particular question, dual way, one for Israel and one for the Gentile, was asked. I think we've answered it. The divine agenda spelled it out from beginning. We already see that in his seed, in Abraham's seed, so that all the family of the earth
be blessed.
And we trace that seed to
Christ.
To Christ. And yes, the covenant that God had with Abraham is a covenant that keeps him in perpetual relationship with them, whereby they become the only family he has on earth. He uses them for a purpose. And one of the covenant is that it produced the source of eternal life. Which is the seed, Christ. So I don't know, I hope I didn't say it in a way that confused them in any of my teachings. But please look at what I'm saying now, because even William Branham, a lot of things he taught before, as the years go by, they become clearer and clearer when better light was being shed. So please listen to these teachings when the Issachar anointing was released. you will see that it's a further light to whatever we have taught before.
The blessings of Abraham, I think that's the sermon you preached.
Yeah, I preached the blessings of Abraham. Yes.
Part 1 and 2. So please try and get that message. I think the pastor was
the blessing
very clear.
Of Abraham is eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The seed promised him.
Shalom, sir. Please, my question is this. The Bible says you shall not kill. Can a woman with the consent of the husband on the advice of a medical doctor abort her unborn baby on the ground of health without hearing from God? Whose report shall we believe? Brother Ijeofo Asogwa from Nsukka.
Let it be unto you according to your faith. But I want to let you know that knowledge of medical science is from God. And that God can answer your prayer and save your life through the medical doctors. So, but if you have a higher faith, or you have a better faith, let me use it that way, that will work for you. There's nothing wrong about going to the hospital, and it's good to follow a medical doctor's advice when it has to do with life-threatening situations, whatever it is. It's very important. So it's wrong. There are some medical advice that could go against your faith. If it goes against your faith, then your faith overrides that advice. You know, and I've had so many of such counsel. But when a doctor gives you a counsel, medical counsel, to avert, to take care of life-threatening situations, you better listen. But if you have faith to push on, God honors faith. It shall be unto you according to your faith. God bless you.
Amen. Shalom, sir. My question is from Luke 16:9. The Bible says we should not be unequally yoked. We should not be equally yoked to the unbeliever. But Luke 16:9 says we should be friends with Mammon, the Emmanuel from Ghana.
Yeah. You know, even Apostle Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 9.
I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world.
Out of the world. Now, where you're making reference to is Christ's advice, so that you'll be wise, so that you don't lose both ways. And it's not a doctrine. It's not trying to tell you how foolish you are, that you are not here, you are not there. That is just it. You know, it's not telling you to go and befriend this world. No, we're in this world, but not of this world. And the Bible says the friendship of this world is enmity with God. But look at what the context of that parable. So you have to understand that.
Okay. Okay, next question. Good evening, sir. I'm Sister Eunice from Togo. Please, sir, is it good for a Christian to do cosmetic business and selling of wigs and attachments?
Not only cosmetic business, not only sell of wigs and attachment, Any business you do that offends your faith, stop it. God bless you.
Amen. Shalom, Pastor Moses, and to this Saka brother. Sir, you said that women could put on trousers depending on the motive behind it. However, according to Deuteronomy 22:5, sir, it is presented as a commandment from God that woman should not put on man's garment. So, sir, is it okay for our sisters to undermine God's commandments by wearing trousers, basically for their reasons or motives behind it? Brother Chinozo from Auchi.
Brother Chinozo, I hope you understood me. What you are actually also saying, and you have to, you have to hold on to that and follow it to the letter, which I may not agree with you, is that any job a sister will do that will, or any profession that a sister will enter into, be part of, that will entail her wearing trousers in the course of that job, they should not take up that employment, they should not take up that career. It includes sports. It includes engineering works. It includes aviation works. It includes military and the police, security forces. No woman, no Christian woman should be involved in such because they will be told to wear trousers. If that is your thought, you are correct in the line of that scripture. But I quickly want to let you know that the motive, it is fashion we preach against, it's fashion. A woman dress, for a woman to go and wear that which pertains to a man for fashion, it is wrong. But because you're in the military, you're the police, and you have to wear the dress that goes with that job, and you have to wear a trouser, there's nothing wrong because you're not wearing it for fashion. That's how I believe it, and I'm entitled to it. You may take what, how I understand it, you may not take it. Mm-hmm. But I'm obligated to preach what I understand.
Amen.
And if you understand like that, then continue like that and preach to your people that they should not take up any job. And if any police woman, soldier woman, engineer woman, woman athlete becomes a member of your church and bring tithe to you and offering, don't collect it because she's into a sinful job. God bless you.
Shalom, sir. Please clarify me on Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Does it mean that a born-again Christian who fell into sin and later realized and asked for mercy will not be accepted again? Sister Precious Austin from Bayelsa.
The meaning of that scripture, maybe we read it for the purpose of those who may not. Hebrew.
Chapter 6.
Yes. Read it.
From verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened.
Again.
For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened.
Who are once enlightened.
And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
They have tasted of that heavenly gift.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
And they have seen the Holy Ghost in action vividly.
And have tasted the good word.
Now, this is not baptism of the Holy Ghost. So. Mm. This is not baptism of the Holy Ghost. So. They have seen the evident manifestation of the Spirit of God. They have seen it through the gifts. They see vision. Healing, miracle, signs and wonders that took place by the name of Jesus. They saw it. Uh-huh.
And have tasted the good word of God.
That is, they have confirmed the reality of the word of God.
And the powers of the world to come.
Confirming the reality of the heavenly things as we see. He said, yes.
If they shall fall away.
If after all this, they live again and go back to their old life, go back to their shrine, go back to worshiping other things other than the faith. He said, it is impossible. This is how to read that place. It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance because all that should make them repent, they have seen it. So what else are you going to convince them again for them to come back? It's not possible again. All that God can use to show his reality, they have seen it. It is not about backsliding. What? Seeing what?
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
You cannot go that far. And instead of it to cause you to repent and serve God, instead, you ignore him and crucify him like the Pharisees and Sadducees they did. He said, it is impossible to renew such a person. That's what he's trying to let you know.
Okay.
Yes.
Shalom, sir. Talking about dreams, I want to know the meaning of a dream. Where I saw myself removing my leather boots that were stuck in the mud for a long time, and I saw myself cleaning those shoes and dry them up. This came up last night. Sister Carol from Nairobi, Kenya.
Again, please.
I want to know the meaning of dream. Where I saw myself removing my leather boots that were stuck in the mud for a long time.
Yes.
And I saw myself cleaning those shoes and dried them up.
Yes. It has, you know, anything you have to do with the shoe, it has to do with responsibility. And your responsibility in various ways. The position you are supposed to take, your duty, your responsibility that is given to you, you know, you could not perform them because it is stuck in the mud. That is what it means. Whatever is the mud, all I remember is a song that we used to sing. He brought me out of the miry clay.
Amen.
Because right there, you cannot progress. So now that you have cleaned them up, you have cleaned up yourself, and the newness of life is about to begin. So you wake up now to your responsibility and then move forward with your life. That's all that scripture is, I mean, that revelation is speaking to you from my understanding.
Okay. Pastor Moses is a dream interpreter. Okay.
I'm not a dream interpreter because people will soon start calling to be, I'm not a dream interpreter. If God gives you a dream, then pray for that God will give you interpretation also.
Amen.
Yes. So Amen. Because no dream, you don't, no doctrine for dream. No dream mean the same thing. One dream mean one thing to me may mean another thing to you. So that's why we need God to grant you understanding when you have a dream. Yes.
Amen. Brother Peace Power from Abakaliki. Shalom, church. Thank you, Pastor Moses, for this privilege to ask questions on this platform. My questions are, please, sir, can you throw more light on Psalm 127 verse 3? Because both Boko Haram and other wicked people are also enjoying this reward and testifying that God is blessing them with children. Whereas there are so many believers who have been waiting for years. Two, is it all marriages that is joined by God? According to Matthew 19 verse 5 and 6. Thank you, sir.
Psalm 73. Blessing of children. Yes. The children are blessing from God. That's why she's quoting.
Yes, sir.
Now, in Psalm 73 from verse 1.
Truly, God is good to all Israel, even to such as of a clean heart.
Yes.
But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish.
Including you, envious of Boko Haram.
When I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
So there is the prosperity of the wicked. Go on.
For there are no bands in their debts, but their strength is firm.
Yes.
They are not in trouble as other men.
Yes.
Neither are they plagued like other men.
Now, verse 16.
When I thought to know this, it was
why this happening?
It was too painful for me.
Too painful for me.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places.
In slippery places. While you are thinking that they are prospering, God is putting them in slippery places.
Thou casted them down into destruction.
Because their end is destruction. Just read on, and you will see that their end has been determined. So God is just looking at them.
Wow.
Hellfire. Okay. He's already preparing them. What's the other question?
Are all marriages joined by God according to Matthew 19 verse 5?
No, it's not every marriage that is joined by God.
No.
Okay, no.
Sir. All right, sir.
Any marriage that is contrary to the word of God, if you go and yoke yourself with an unbeliever, that is not joined by
good
God.
Good evening, Pastor.
God bless you and good evening.
Amen. Shalom to the bride of Christ.
Amen. You're welcome.
I am calling from Lokoja.
Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Amen.
Daddy, I have a question.
I have answer.
I have this sister, my Christian sister.
Yes.
Daddy, she's coming of age already. She's over 40, going 50.
Yes.
So she discovered she's pregnant. And she has 5 children, grown-up children already.
Yes.
And she's scared of having a baby now. And she talked with me this afternoon. And I didn't know what to tell her.
Why is she scared? Why?
The children are grown already. The economy situation, everything. She was just crying.
Now tell her to fear not. God is aware of the economic situation and still gave her a baby even when she did not expect it.
Mm.
That type of baby is a child of destiny.
Mm.
And the coming of that baby may be the opening of doors to bless them in a special way. So tell her to keep it, for that is how God has ordained that to be. She will know later why God gave that baby to her. She should be thanking God and not grumbling. And
she was crying because she didn't want the elderly ones to hear. She said they will abuse her. The children, they are already grown, about to get married.
No, tell her that God is giving her a child in her old age that she will be playing with, since all of them will soon be getting married and leaving her. God is bringing one that will be keeping her happy at home. So they will understand. And they should always know that it's God that gives children. She didn't give herself any child.
Yes.
Okay. And she has, let them know that she has no right to stop any child coming into the world.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You. Thank you, Rachel.
Shalom, Pastor Moses. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. I thank God for His grace upon you, for all He has been using you to do, and what He's going to use you to do more. To do more grace, sir.
Amen.
If somebody eats the body of Christ and drink His blood unworthily and die in the process, where would the person be? That Tony Wanka from Idimu.
The dying is your punishment, and you will lose whatever reward you have because you died. The death is the punishment, but it does not affect your salvation. That death and that sickness that comes upon you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is as a result of carnality.
Mm.
And whom God loves, He chastens. So even though sickness and even the death is part of God's punishment for His children, remember, it is only those who are His children that can suffer that.
Mm.
If any unbeliever just comes there anyhow, nothing will happen to them.
Mm.
But you that have the Holy Ghost, He will not tolerate you messing up His body like that.
Mm.
God bless you.
Okay, amen. God bless you, sir. Brother Gilbert from Victoria, Cameroon. Please, sir, can you help explain to me Matthew 10:5-9-10? Please, I just want to understand why Jesus says so. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Matthew what?
Matthew 10:5.
No? Okay. And 9-10 again.
Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Verse 9-11. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide ye till ye go thence.
He's given the approach for going there, because shortly after that, He gave them the commission to go into the world. And this is the approach. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. At that time, you are wasting your time. The salvation is not yet time for the Gentiles. The gospel was meant for the Jews only, as at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It is only after Pentecost, His rejection. They have to reject Him first. So He concentrated, according to the divine agenda, concentrated first on the Jews. That is what He was sending them to. That specifically, that He was sending them to. And when you are going, don't bother about what you will eat. Don't bother about having money. Don't bother. You know, it was a specific ministry to the Jews. But, and they told him how to go about it. It was ministry for the Jews. And of course, it also sets a pattern now that it has come to the Gentiles.
Yeah. So, but in Luke 22, from verse 35,
Yes.
And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scribe and shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing.
Yes.
Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scribe. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one.
So what's your question now, Louis?
He gave a commandment that they should never take purse.
Because it was specifically for that. And it is also a pattern.
Okay.
You know. But now you have finished that.
Okay.
So now, any offering they give you,
collect
it.
Okay.
Anyone that receives you, it gives you a cup of water in my name. Because the ministry is now going to go to another dimension that you will need to survive by the free will offering of the people.
Mm.
And Apostle Paul further went in that you eat where you walk.
Mm.
Those that walk at the altar, they eat at the altar.
Okay.
That is, of course, we know that is where these charlatans exploit and everybody is now walking at the altar.
Amen. Okay. Shalom, sir. I want to know the work of prophets and the work of apostles and also the work of pastors. But Tony from Congo Brazzaville.
The work of prophet is to prophesy. What again?
Let apostles, me have it again. The work of apostles.
The work of apostles are to lay the foundation upon which we shall build upon.
Also
and the work of pastors is to feed the flock. And what again?
That's all.
I hope I've answered you.
Okay. I think
all of their work is in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12.
Maybe 11 and verse 12.
From verse 11, and he gave some apostles,
yes,
and some prophets,
yes,
and some evangelists,
yes,
and some pastors and teachers.
Uh-huh. Verse 12 is his answer.
For the perfecting of the saints.
That is their work.
For the work of the ministry.
That is their work.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
That is their work.
Amen.
I hope that answers you.
Mm.
Okay.
Now, you could get this message, the operation of the gifts.
Yes.
A very interesting message that the pastor spoke about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and also mentioned about these gifts in Ephesians 4:11.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. Okay. More questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. You have emphasized so much on the Catholic Church way of worship, but I think that this heavenly race is individual and not about the church you are going, because you say that one cannot receive Holy Ghost in denomination. The pastor never said so, but I believe that I have Holy Ghost, and so I want to know how I will get believers in book. Sister Patience from Kaduna.
Three questions there.
Three, okay.
The first one is that I said you can receive the Holy Ghost in the denomination. Now,
she actually said you cannot.
No, is that what you
because
said?
You say that one cannot receive Holy Ghost in denomination.
No, I didn't say so.
Yes, sir.
I said you can receive the Holy Ghost
anywhere. That's right.
But if it is the Holy Ghost you have received, the evidence is that it will lead you to all truth. And you will remain where there is error.
Yes,
it will,
sir,
pull you out of that system.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And yes, it is an individual thing. That's why we don't preach church.
Mm.
But where you worship also affects your faith.
That's right.
So you imagine that you are in a place where they are worshiping idols, but calling the name of Jesus.
Mm.
You're in the wrong place now.
Mm.
So why should I not tell you that that place is wrong?
Mm.
Get out of that place.
Amen.
But that is the purpose of the preaching gift and
Amen.
The preaching ministry. But the third question
believer
is, how can you get
book.
Believer's song book? You send your request to us, and then we will send them to you.
Okay. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Please, sir, what can I do to make the rapture? Stazilian from Cameroon.
Receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For that is the hope of rapture. Colossians 1 verse 27.
Amen.
So receive the Holy Ghost. That is the hope of resurrection. Romans 8 verse 11.
Amen.
So, Romans 8 verse 9, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His.
Amen.
So, go get the Holy Ghost. It is the hope of rapture.
Amen.
And to receive the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying go and get the gift
mm-hmm.
and begin to speak in tongue. No. For when you receive the Holy Ghost, there is a purpose.
Mm.
It does a work of conversion.
Amen.
It gives you the power to be a son of God.
Amen and amen.
And also, it leads you to all truth.
Mm.
He's a teacher. so you won't be in hell.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Okay. Sir, is it a sin to drink wine? What did Jesus drink in the book of Luke chapter 7 verse 33 and 34? Eusebius from Kaduna. Luke 7 verse 33 and 34. So his question is it a sin to drink wine?
Go ahead.
Okay, verse 33. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber.
You know, I answer that question in a very simple way. There's no commandment in the Bible that says you should not drink alcohol. But I have not seen anybody that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that has a taste for alcohol, and I am the evidence. Mm. If your own Holy Ghost you receive makes you to drink and drink and drink, go on, be drinking. Mm-hmm. Me, I received the Holy Ghost, and the taste for alcohol died, not because I received a commandment. The taste, anything that would disturb me from my path of salvation, God dealt with it.
Amen.
And apart from that, I know that the Bible expects us to watch and pray. And I know that as a Christian, I should be very vigilant. And when I drink alcohol, there is the tendency that I will, lose my senses. I will not be watchful. And from it, I can be poisoned because I won't be able to pray. And you say, no, just testing it. I know you test it because there is a desire for it. And why will I want to test something that is very easy for me to get addicted to? So I run away from it. But like I said, if your own Holy Ghost that you receive allows you, like I always tell the people who say they have the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and that Holy Ghost allows you to wear trousers, sister, go ahead, wear it. It certainly allows you to wear that trouser for a purpose. You will soon know later. But why will he again go to another sister and say, don't wear it? In your own case, he didn't even tell you to wear it. He only didn't stop you. He didn't talk to you. But this one, specifically, he wants to talk to this one. Me, the Holy Ghost, stopped me from taking alcohol. Killed the test. Among other things in my life that he stopped. By the grace of that baptism of the Holy Ghost. The newness of life. So your own case, continue to drink. because I want to be honest, I'm speaking scriptures.
So what of the scriptures that advise? Even if you say they don't...
give a strong drink to...
Okay, let me quote it, yes. Let me start from Proverbs 20, verse 1.
Yes.
Wine is a mocker. Mm-hmm. Strong drink is raging.
Okay.
And whosoever is deceived thereby... is not wise.
So there are scriptures there, mm. But that is, you say that is advice, not a commandment.
let me read some other words. Proverbs 23 from verse 29 to 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Uh-huh. Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine.
Drunkards.
Look not thou upon the wine when it is red.
Okay.
Oh. When it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thy eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perversings. Yea, that shall be as he that lieth in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall that say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again.
And so I know why. Despite that, the question is, why did Christ then take wine? Certainly, it could not have been alcohol.
Mm.
Definitely.
Amen.
It could not have been alcohol.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. And if the Holy Ghost was in Christ, the Holy Ghost cannot be.
The Holy Ghost would not allow him to take alcohol.
Amen and amen.
Because if he not allow me to take, why will he allow Christ take?
Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Victory from Port Harcourt.
Hello?
Yeah, Victory. You are the last person I'm talking to tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Daddy, God bless you.
Thank you. Okay,
my question is from the previous answer you gave to the other sister. I want to know, I'm very sure, I don't know, but Because I want to know if there is this girl that I really have been, I came across the message. But I noticed that the girl is no longer there, I'm required. So I don't know how to get back to another. And how can someone know that if
there's this joy she had when she first came across the message?
You don't have the joy again.
No, sir. I don't
eat. Fire. Fire.
You are making a mistake. You are worshiping God by feeling instead of worshiping God by faith. If you're going to worship God by feeling, then you will say, I no longer feel joy. I no longer feel this. No, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by feeling. So irrespective of how I feel, I still believe Christ is my Savior.
Amen.
I still believe He is my Father. He has paid the price for my redemption, and I belong to Him. Mm. And when I begin to feel bad, when Satan begins to bring thoughts that take my joy away, I remind him I belong to Jesus, and I begin to sing my songs of redemption, worshiping my Savior, and He will leave me alone. So don't worship God by feeling. You don't feel the Holy Ghost. You accept the Holy Ghost and walk by faith and allow Him to have His way in your life. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Victory from Port Harcourt. Shalom.
Okay, shalom, shalom, shalom. We've come to the end of our Bible study today. But thank God we've been able to extend the time today.
Thank you for all your prayers that you've been praying for me and for this ministry. Your prayers are very much coveted, and that's what is keeping us.
Amen.
Thank you also for your financial contributions.
Yes, sir.
Very encouraging to us.
Amen.
That has kept the broadcast going on.
Amen.
And the testimonies that abound shall also be to your own profit, for
Amen.
Your own reward, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I pray that as you continue to study the scriptures, God will give you more and more illumination.
Amen.
God will establish you more and more in the present truth.
Amen.
God will make the word of God living life to you.
Amen.
He will confirm His word in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May He continue to give you spirit of understanding.
Amen.
May He open your eyes of understanding.
Amen.
And may He cause you just not to be hearers, but also to be doers of His word.
Amen.
May His grace increase in your life.
Amen.
And above all, may we all remain rapturable in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 So please, if we've not answered your question, the Lord Jesus is not coming any moment from now. He's not coming this year. So please, we still have time. We'll take all questions that have been sent to us on this platform. Just be patient with us. God bless you. Shalom.